Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. We just praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that around this valley, that weather is going to go around us. We're not going to get any snow. It's not going to get near as cold as they say it is. We praise you for that, Father. In the name that's above all name, the name of Jesus. You said, Lord, when we pray in your name, that we shall have it. You're going to see to it that we have it. And I thank you for it, Father, that just like it did when that great big snow blizzard came our way, David and I prayed against that, and it split and went around us. Everybody got 12, 13, 15 inches of snow. We didn't even get a dusting hardly. And Father, we thank you that that's the way it's going to be this time too. And we praise you for it, Lord. And nobody's going to lose their water, not going to lose their electricity, none of that stuff in Jesus' name. Or anywhere else in this, where all the UBMers are in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that it's going to be an awesome night tonight. And then in the morning, we're going to wake up. It's going to be a sunshiny day. Thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, we thank you for an open heaven that you have afforded us. And we praise you for it, Father, because you've given us the faith to believe, given us all the tools we need to believe. And Father, we just thank you because you're living inside of us. You are directing traffic with us. You're leading us and guiding us and showing us the things to say and to speak about, Father, and I praise you for it. And I thank you, Lord, for this great and wonderful night that we've got ahead of us, Lord. You're in charge, Father, and I ask that you lead and direct each and every one of us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Barry, that cold air is not hitting y'all, is it? That Siberian front coming down?
It's 15 for the centigrade Celsius people. It's 15 degrees Fahrenheit here, which is below zero in Celsius.
Oh, my goodness.
We've been below freezing for several days, and
really?
It's going to be... It's going to be 13 for the low tonight, so it's not going to cool off much since it's, well, it's actually about 13 right now. But anyway, yeah, it's cold.
It's real cold. Yeah, that's cold. Yeah, that's cold. We've been burning wood by the hour, man, I tell you. In fact, we went out hunting for some more today.
Oh, man.
But praise God, we're not going to run out because he's multiplying it even as we speak. It's going to be there every time we go out the door to get some. Glory to God. All right. Not only that, it ain't going to get near about as cold as they said. That says supposed to get to 70 here. I ain't never seen it in single digits here. But that's what you get when you let them people figure out what you weather. All right. Anybody else? Got a prayer request or testimony or praise report? Looks like Patrick getting his instructions there. Anybody got a prayer request? Somebody died there, Patrick. I see a wreath back here on the wall. No, you don't have to answer.
Okay. But no, somebody didn't die.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, y'all want to talk about what we're going to talk about tonight? Somebody mentioned something. Anybody remember? I just found my little ruler that I use. I prayed that the Lord get it back to me 2 days ago. There it is. Praise the Lord. Anybody remember? Was it the Holy Spirit? Something about the Holy Spirit, I think.
That was kind of a parting question last meeting, but you kind of started covering it on the message yesterday, but
yeah,
that was good. But yeah, I would like to at some point talk about the Holy Spirit, you know, the baptism, receiving, you know, what you receive when you're born again, and, you know, just kind of a clarifying understanding there. And it seems like John Lake, when you read that, it seems like he went through multiple, I guess, fillings or something like that. Didn't he?
Yes. He was filled and filled and filled. But here's what he found out, Patrick. One time he got filled, it upped everything for him as far as healing goes. He was healing without being baptized in the Holy Spirit, as I was when I first started out, too. And until about a year later when I got baptized in it. But he was the same way. And not that I'm anywhere near where he was, you know, during his, but he knew there was more. He knew there was more because he kept reading about being filled, and he started learning about who he was in Christ. And he knew there was more, and he kept crying out to God. He did. He kept crying out to God. God, there's got to be more. And the Lord filled him up that time that I related yesterday, one of the times, and gave him the gift of knowing what was wrong with somebody. If he laid his hands on him, he knew what part of him was wrong, and he knew what the disease was or whatever it was. It didn't make any difference. He knew. And he'd go in the hospital and he'd just go in there and grab somebody and say, okay, this one here's got this. This one over here's got that. This one over here's got that. And the doctors were amazed at his diagnostic abilities. Well, it wasn't diagnostic abilities to him. It was God telling him what was wrong with him. And he got to playing with that, and the Lord took it away from him. But the thing, if you got to remember what Lake said about his ministry. He said that speaking in tongues was the making of his ministry. And that in itself speaks volumes about what tongues, how important tongues is in your walk with the Lord, because tongues introduces you into the spirit world of God, the spiritual nature of God, the spirit of God. When you stir up that spirit inside of you, which is the spirit of God inside of you, you're stirring up the Holy Ghost to come in and do the things that you want. He said this. We want God to translate our tongues. Well, he tells us in the Word of God, just ask me to do it and I'll do it. He will translate it. And what Lake would do, he'd go walking, praying in tongues, leaving out in the morning or whenever. He'd go walking and he'd speak in tongues. And on the way back, he'd ask the Lord to interpret the tongues for him. And he would utilize what the Lord gave him, and it would be a sermon for that night. In other words, he was giving him the sermons. And if you'll go in and look at some of the sermons that they wrote down for him, his wife would write those things down for him as he gave them out in speech. She would translate them. She was a, what you call it? Anyway, the first wife. And if you'll read his sermons, you'll see they're quite different than a lot of people's. Quite different. He's right on. He's spot on every time he preached a sermon. He believed that tongues were the key to the gifts of the Spirit. And he showed it. He experienced it, and it manifested in him. And there is a way to do that, and I'm going for it. I haven't done anything like what he's done. But the Lord says we can. I'm looking for it. And that is this, and that is to walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, and act like Jesus. And there's one way to do it. And that's to seek him with all your heart. Surrender yourself. Your flesh has got to go. And use every moment that you can to learn about the love of Jesus. Because love is the key to it all, is that love of Jesus. Go ahead, Andrew.
Okay, I have a question. Because I was affected a certain way yesterday when I listened to the study, Michael, the study, your study, more than David's.
Uh-oh.
And I was kind of quaking, I would say. You know, shaking a lot. And I don't know why. I know there's this denomination called the Quakers. I don't know if they were that way. But you know, I don't think it was wrong per se, but I went to my concordance to the letter Q and I looked up quake and quaking. I did you mentioned how Daniel in chapter 10 quaked before the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so I went and looked at that 10 and 7, and then my second reference was from Ezekiel 12 and 18. When I read that one, I started quaking reading that verse, because if I get the verse up, it just says there, I'm going to read 17. Moreover, the word of God came to me saying, Son of man, eat thy bread with quaking, and drink thy water with trembling and with fearfulness. And it goes on, you know, I think he's talking about just very near to the wrath of God, or something. It's entitled Judah's Captivity Symbolized. And so it was, that was about the spookiest verse that I got. And I just want to know if it's something that happens to people. You know, even Moses quaked when he went up on the mountain. Uh, it speaks also of quaking of the earth when, of course, Jesus died and the new Old Testament saints came out of their graves, too. And that must have put a quake on a few people when they saw them. Anyway, so I just, this is something new. And it's not the first time it's happened. So I don't know about this. I don't know if it's right or if it's wrong or if it's something I should pray about.
What did you feel like, Andrew?
Well, it was a shaking. As if there was a presence or something. I don't know why. So that's why I was concerned about it. Because, actually when I read those verses in Ezekiel 12:18, and it goes all the way down to 28. So the rest of the one that I read, the 18 one that there, makes me sometimes, I was thinking, well, maybe I'm not really paying that good attention when I'm reading the Word of God. Because the reference there is bread and water. You know, and so I don't know. Like, I'm in the dark about this, and I never heard it happen. All I got that, and then and that group of people called Quakers, and I think it was they used to do that there. I don't know.
Yeah, they did. That's why they called them that.
It's not because I was eating Quaker oats, that's for sure.
No. God, what I'm finding out myself, Andrew, is God wants us to be serious about Him and to learn about the love that He has for people more than anything. And He wants us, I'm finding out for Michael, okay? I'm just going to talk about myself. He's wanting me to quit. He wants me to shut down and to allow Jesus to live and to come alive and to be alive and to work the things that He wants to work in me. And the same thing with everybody else. The more that we die to ourselves, the more you're going to look like Jesus. And the more you look like Jesus, the more fruit you're going to bear. He wants sons of God walking on this planet with Him. Sons of God walking the full measurement of Jesus as He did when He was here. He's listening to the Lord. Remember what Jesus said? He said, I don't do nothing unless the Lord tells me, unless my Father tells me. And that's the way He wants us to do it, and to be led by the Spirit more than we're led by our flesh, you know.
You know, we talked a lot about week to the week.
Yeah.
It was in John chapter 16, where you get the Holy Spirit convicts people of sin.
Yeah.
And He does convict of righteousness and of judgment, you know, and I sort of, you know, the Lord has to judge these weak to the weak things that we do, you know. He knows why we do them, for sure. And I just sometimes wonder if maybe I or some of us might be just discerning something incorrectly. You know, like, is it a sin? Is it a righteousness thing He wants you to work on? Or is it, are you on the righteous track here? Are you doing what He would judge as being okay? You know, and so, you know, and, you know, it was the 21st, so I read my Proverbs, the water course there. So, you know, there's the drinking of the water, you know, and he's being led by a word. These kings, you know, are led by a word, by this water course. And I can't quote the verse too well, but it's Proverbs 21. And it mentions that the water course there is, of course, how he's instructing and moving this king. And it could be for a good thing or a bad thing, because we don't know what water course this king is. You know, we would hope that if it's the king of Judah, that he's going in the proper waters here. But if it's the king of the Philistine, that if he's coming against Judah especially, that it's wrong. You know, and I think this has got a lot to do with today, you know, and with people who govern things, you know, who are we're all supposed to be kings and priests to our God, but it's still all in the Lord's hands. So, you know, I've been just studying a bit up on that, you know, the death and life are in the power of the tongue. And, you know, there's quite a few verses here that I have. It's kind of like he's working this in, he's quaking in. And what you were talking about with this, because it's really about all the word here, which is the spirit and life. So you know, I just been doing lots of reading around stuff, you know. Just trying to see what God's doing with me. Anyway. I keep kind of like notes of what God's doing, you know. But my daughter's fine now. She's back at work. She's been at work till Monday, so I guess her COVID's gone. And that verse there, impossible for God to lie, was the head of my paper here. It's kind of like a journalette, you know. I don't keep a journal, but I sort of keep words down as to how the Lord is reading anyway. But it was weird, Michael. It was almost throughout the whole thing. You're hoping and speaking in tongues more fervently, you know, with a greater, I don't know if passion is the right word, a greater zeal, more zealous in my. While you were speaking these words yesterday, it kind of freaked me out. So I'm just asking this question. You know, I don't want to go talk to any Quaker. You know,
well, reckon you know, you can even find one.
I don't think there's any left. No, maybe the guy on the package can talk to me. I don't know. Anyway, so I'm just going to praise God about it. See where this goes. Anyway.
Amen. Yeah, Patrick.
So I was, when you said, Andrew, when you said that the experience is quaking, was it a specific thing in what Michael was reading last night, or was it just kind of the whole thing, or in other words, was there something that kind of triggered you? I know you went down the quaking scripture direction there, but was there something specific that Michael, you know, read?
It just started like maybe 2 minutes into it. Ben wasn't here. I was here on my own. You know, I actually told Ben, because he showed up late, I told him I was praying that he would show up to the meeting on Tuesday. So he showed up. Then I completely forgot about it, and it reminded me of when the internet came back on for all of us. And he came on, and I went, there's an answer to prayer. So I told him when he came today. And he had a good time studying himself last night. Prayed about that, too.
Yeah, I was looking at the teaching that you did between the differences between the Holy Spirit and Christ's Spirit. It was a couple of weeks ago, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I know that you referred to the example of Moses there in Hebrews 12.
Yeah, he's 12, 21 to 29, and he's in Exodus 19, 18 to 25, and then Exodus 20 is where he's getting the law of God on the mount.
And what I guess what I was thinking is it's interesting in that example that the people of God, the children of God, or children of Israel or whatever, they were fearful to go up and touch that mount. But Moses was driven by a different spirit, or drawn by a different spirit. And he, even though he experienced the fearful quaking and fear, it did not repel him. He did not see it as a negative, or you know, an attack or something wrong. He, you know, now I suspect that he was acquainted with the awesomeness of God and wanted more, you know, and the quaking came, but it didn't affect him. It didn't stop him. He didn't run in fear. He went toward the Lord. He went toward that mount that could not be touched. So I don't know. I don't think, you know, what you experienced was wrong for sure. It's never happened to me that I know of, but.
Well, I guess the question has to be asked, Andrew, was it a negative feeling or a positive feeling?
It's not that I couldn't have stopped it. Like, if everything you were addressing there had to do with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And the scriptures, you know. And plus, the more zealous tongue that I was speaking, it was like my other one, but it was just more of a zeal to it, whatever I was praying. And whenever you quoted a verse, the tongue stopped. So I think that's right.
Well, let me say this about Lake, and this will help you a little bit. He was probably one of the most probably the biggest I'm trying to find the right words. He had a wonderful healing of deliverance and healing. And that probably the best it ever was in our history. But there are some now that are even bigger than his. Now, that copied off of him. But anyway, I'll say this about, like, he only dealt with, the best I can tell, is healings and deliverances and holiness. He spoke on holiness, how you're supposed to walk in holiness. But he never believed for finances. He never believed for things that we believe for now, because we understand that God supplies all our needs, everything that we need. And we're learning it day by day. We're learning that God can and will do whatever's necessary for us to be able to do what he wants us to, rather than working on stuff all the time.
Well, that's sort of like a mentality that's been going through my head too for some time, where we have a very short time now.
Yeah.
But why not make ourselves available to the Lord for all things? Because what else are we going to do anyway? Like, I speak in here again, like, for myself, I'm retired, you know, and I'm available, you know. I want to go do things, but I stress the short time. You know, like, it can't be just for me getting this kind of putting an emphasis on the short time we have, and how to react with that short time with all your needs and with all your givings and stuff. So, why not? What else we gonna do?
Let me just jump in here if I can right quick. And I don't mean any disrespect to anybody, but I believe the Lord wants us to encourage each other to do the Bible, to do what Jesus did, to do the things that he did. Go out and preach the gospel with signs and wonders following. I know that we've been, we have to, how's revival going to start? You think God's just going to say, revival started? No, never has been started that way. It's always been started by prayer. Always somebody interceding and praying for revival. That's something else somebody could be doing, is interceding in tongues. That's a big part of it, because the Holy Lord, pray through me in the Spirit for revival, because the Holy Spirit prays the perfect prayer that gets answered every time. Y'all heard David say that.
So then we will be sanctified.
Yeah.
As the prayer is going out.
Yeah.
This is the work of God in action here. This is the glorification, the manifestation, the shining forth. And by his word, by the prayer, by the supplication, we thank beyond what we can ever think or ask. So I'm just thinking aloud here. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that's some good thinking you're doing there, brother.
And that's what I mean about, it's a short time, you know, like,
it is.
Put people in anxiety. God's got that. You know, I just, well, what else? You know, we've been taught. We know of what's coming. Yeah. Glory to God, you know, I want
to glory to God, yeah.
Glory to God, that's all.
And, you know, there's different meanings for tongues. There's different jobs for tongues. One of them is to build and edify you up. Another one is interceding and praying for other people or other things, whatever it is.
I have a question about that too, Michael, because I know that sometimes when we used to all pray in tongues here, you would say, okay, now, Lord, I want you to use my tongue to pray for our item that we're praying for at this time. Is that what you mean when you say that?
No, when I say, Lord, you speak through us or pray through us in the spirit for whatever it is that we want to utilize. And that's the Holy Spirit inside of you coming out in tongues so that you won't mess it up. You've heard David explain about tongues. He says tongues.
I just wanted to emphasize you have to pray that in your regular language to say, now I'm going to use my tongue to do this.
No, you don't have to. God's smart. He's pretty smart. I do it for y'all's sake so you'll understand what I'm doing.
Okay.
But yeah, then there's travailing in the spirit. Patrick, put it up, bud. But there's travailing in the spirit also, where it's just you've heard about Father Nash when what's the preacher's name that he prayed for?
Charles Finney.
Charles Finney, yeah, thank you, Patrick. He would just be groaning, and people would hear him in a motel room and say, Mr. Finney, you've got a man in there. Something's wrong with him, you know. He said, oh, I said, that's just Father Nash. Said he's in there praying and travailing for this town or whatever it was that they were. He was doing it in tongues because he was travailing. And it was something that came from his spirit down deep. Here's your spirit is down here below your gut, right in there. According to what I've heard, I don't know, but that's what it feels like it comes from anyway. Revailing.
Does that have to do anything with the blessed they that mourn, for they shall be comforted? Because
yeah,
you have loved ones, you know.
The
mind works so fast, and you could get a lot of things going through your mind, you know, because, you know, you're listening to a wonderful discourse of the Holy Spirit, and you want this for even family members and stuff. Maybe that's what's going on. And, I don't get to talk to my family too much.
Talk to her. Hey, Ben.
I want a surprise, you know, like Ben was a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. When, I understand.
A lot more of that, you know, and I think it's ministered to me. His own stuff taking has even ministered to me on how things go about with God and how he can just it's so restful when he does it all, does it right. It's so much easier to talk to another person about it and things happen with them for his salvation. Yeah,
you've got a wonderful son there. He's been a blessing. Don't get the big head, Ben, because we can come down on you pretty quick too, buddy. Amen. Amen.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just wanted to know what this was all about, and it's in all good hands, I'll tell you that.
It is. Yes. It's in God's hands.
Yes. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for all things, Father. Continue to minister to me. Continue to minister to my son. Continue to minister to the people here on Outreach, to all the people on UVM. And let's not forget, Lord, our people overseas there who evangelize other people for you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, and look after the orphans and the widows.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Here's something about Lake you may not know. I don't know if you do. Some of you may know. Lake was worth a lot of money. He made bunches of money when he was in business. And the Holy Spirit told him that he was going to send him to Africa. He gave it all away, every nickel of it away. He had what we would call millions in the bank. He gave it away. He went to the place where you buy a ticket to get on a boat to go across to Africa. He went there with, I think he had $2. And it cost a lot more than that. But before he got up to the window, his wife said, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" He said, "Well, the Lord sent us. He's going to provide." Somebody walked up to him, gave him the money. And he had five, six, seven kids there with him and a wife. He got on the boat. And when they got over there, he had to have a certain amount of money in order to be able to get off the boat and be a guest of that country. Didn't have any money. Didn't even have a place to go. Anyway, he got in line. She said, "What you going to do?" He said, "I'm going to get in line. God provides the way. He told me to come. He's going to provide it." Somebody walked up to him before he got up to the window, gave him the money to get off the boat with his family. He got off the boat. She said, "Where are we going?" She said, "I don't know. God told us to come here. He's going to provide a way." And he saw this woman doing this, trying to figure out where. Oh, there they are right there. A man, his wife, and his seven kids. The Lord told her to go give a house to them. This was in Africa, South Africa. Gave him the house he lived in for 5 years. Free of charge. Just go live in it. And that's what happened. He was a man that depended upon God for what he needed. But there were some things that I know that he made trips over to England and back to the United States. I don't know if he went back to the United States, but I do know he went to England a couple of times to get money from churches over there, going in and preaching and doing that kind of stuff to get money to bring back to the preachers that were out spreading the gospel in South Africa. And that's one place where he didn't, you know, he had a, well, I don't know. I don't know. I've read a couple of things negative about him, and I didn't believe a word of it. Come to find out what I believed was right. It wasn't him. Somebody killed his wife. His first wife. They were jealous of Lake. He came out of a certain ministry, and those people that were over there had been in that ministry, and they didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they got a little jealousy there. She died, and they had her buried before he could come back. And that was the deal. Anyway, but he was a mighty man of God. He loved the Lord. He loved people. And he was a hard-working guy. He was wore slam out by the time at 65 when he went home to be with the Lord. He was preaching 2 or 3 times a day, sometimes more. Seen a lot of people get healed, saw a lot of people come to Jesus. Thousands upon thousands. But anyway, all right. That's where God wants us. That's what I was getting to. I don't look at myself, look at Lake to be like Lake. I want to be like Jesus. That's who I want to be like. Lake was good at what he did. I want to be like Jesus because he was really good at what he did. He was really good. And we could be like that because he said we could. He said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. Greater than these, you'll do. And I believe it. What we have to do is get rid of Michael. I have to do. Get rid of Michael and let Jesus walk in fully. And when you come to the Lord at 50 years old, it's, you got a lot of strongholds there just, that the Lord has to break down. And he's done it. Praise God, he's done it. Go ahead, Missy.
I know Curry Blake is like the I guess head of John G. Lake Ministry or whatever now. And I know you said you had met him or whatever. What's, I forget what you told us before. What's the story behind that? And I've read that he Curry Blake was he has talked to a lot of the family members and everything with John G. Lake and all. But anyway, I'm just kind of curious how you met him and all that.
Well, I came across his ministry back in the early 2000s, maybe in the late 90s. I can't remember. It's been back in that area. Found out that he was doing Lake's Divine Healing Technician training. And so I called him and talked to him and asked him to come up to where we were and do a training for us in the church that I was in at that time. And he did. He brought his daughter. He brought the daughter that fell out of the two-story house he was in and smacked, splatted on the concrete out there. And he's the one he carried around for 45 minutes and said, you will live and not die in the name of Jesus. And she finally came back to life. She was 21 then, and she was just as healthy as you can be, boy. Fine little gal. I think she's married now. But anyway, that's how I met him. And I had him up there twice, up to Lone Oak, Arkansas. And he wanted me to take over the overseership of John G. Lake Ministries in Arkansas. I didn't feel like led to be doing to do that. And so I said, I'll tell you what, you get somebody else to do that, but I'll still be associated with you. Matter of fact, he ordained me into his ministry. But there's another story to that. And it was that at one point in time, after a couple of years, I guess, being with his ministry and hooking up with people all over the state in his ministry, going to places and preaching, teaching, and laying hands on people and all that kind of stuff. That the Lord told me one day I was walking somewhere. I don't even know where I was, but I was walking and the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to send your ordination papers back to Curry. I said, what? He said, I want you to send your coordination papers back to Curry. I said, okay. So I just put them in an envelope, shipped them off back to him, and I called him. He called me one night. I was in another town. He said, Michael, what is this? I said, Curry, I'm just telling you, I just did what the Lord told me to do. And he said, really? I said, yeah. I said, I don't have a reason. I don't know. But that's what he wanted me to do. And he said, okay, I'll honor that because the Lord told you, you got to do what the Lord said. And I know why now, it's because of David and being in UBM. Because I really like Curry. He's a little short guy. But he's a fireball, man. I'm telling you, he is a fireball. I like him. But anyway, yes, he is. He's the overseer of John G. Lake Ministries. And there was a prophecy years and years ago that Lake had that's, I don't know if John Lake had it or somebody, but they prophesied about the person that was going to that would take over John G. Lake Ministries. And it all fit Curry's history. He was almost killed as a child, as a baby. His dad backed over him in the car, and he went over the back wheel, and he got a scar in his head all the way back. It just peeled back his head. And just all kinds of stuff that happened to him that lined up with the prophecy. And that's when his Lake's daughter and son-in-law, he met them. That was, guy's name was Ricky. I can't remember. Anyway, he hooked up with him, and he got all of Lake's writings. He has all of his manuscripts, everything that they had, that Lake had, he has it. He has the copyright to John G. Lake Ministries because of the prophecy. But anyway, that's kind of a short history. There's a lot more to it, but I don't even know if Curry even remembers him, because that was a long time ago. That's been, I don't know, 15, 16, 17 years ago since I hadn't talked to him since then. Yeah, Patrick.
Michael, I forgot what I was going to say, so
I'm sorry.
No, sorry. It's good. You took me down another path. So maybe it'll come back to me. I'll let Rion. He had his hand up.
Okay, Rion, go ahead.
I got to remember now as well. Oh, that's what I wanted to ask. Where the Bible says that we will do even greater things, right? We believe. I wonder, what could be greater? I mean, he raised the dead, he walked on water, he healed all the sick, opened blind eyes, made the, you know, people can't speak, people can't walk. What could be greater than that?
I don't know. I sure want to experience it, though.
Can I interject for a second? Because
yeah.
They didn't have the technologies that we have, and or like automobiles or trains or planes and stuff. So maybe that's got something to do with it. I don't know.
Well, I think the satellites are going to be what the greater is, because you'll be able to get it out to a lot more people in the satellites. They've got a satellite system up there now. I think Bus put it up there that will reach the world now.
So you think greater than means more like in quantity and volume than
possibly
what they could do in a smaller area?
You know, Rion, talking about that, I've seen God heal people over the telephone. I've seen God deliver people over the telephone. I've seen God baptize them in the Holy Spirit over the TV. I mean, over the Zoom thing.
Yeah, we see it here all the time, right?
Yeah, we do. So why can't he do it on a satellite with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people?
Yeah, that'd be pretty great.
Remember when Jesus said in the Word of God, it says it two or three times, and he healed them all. Well, he didn't go out there and lay hands on them. He said, y'all be healed in Jesus' name. I don't know if he said Jesus' name. I'm sure he didn't say that, but he did heal them all.
He did say by his character and his nature and his authority.
Yeah.
So
yes.
He said there's something like that by the authority it's given him. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he didn't put rules around how to do it, as in, oh, you must touch, or there must be something like this. I think we've spoken about that. That's why it's so random in the Bible. There's no pattern to it. It's spit in the clay and it's just touch the eyes or what it's. I think he did that on purpose, and it's written that way in the word, so that there's no method that you can work out.
I know. Isn't that awesome? We don't have a law that says you got to heal this way. You got to heal. You got to deliver somebody this way. Uh-oh. You speak the name. That'll do it.
Yeah. Sorry. I've run out of oil, so we can't heal you today. I got to get the special oil first.
I ain't got my special smell good oil today here, so ain't nobody gonna get healed. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, absolutely. But listen, the Holy Spirit is who does it. The Holy Spirit in us, that's the power. When you understand what you got inside of you, we all of us understand what we have inside of us. We have the power that resurrected Jesus right here. Right here. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ. That's the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God. Yeah, Patrick.
You just hit it, because what I was thinking about when Rheon was, you know, what are the greater works, or, you know, greater work shall you do? And I was thinking about, because this whole kind of conversation is going around the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Spirit and whatnot. And I just, and so, you know, Jesus, who was breathed into existence by faith in the Word of God, being received by Mary, Jesus was born of the Spirit. And so, and obviously he came from God. But when he, and obviously he had the Holy Spirit, because he went all the way through life, you know, up to that point when the Lord called him into, you know, to come over the mountain and receive baptism by John the Baptist, at which point he obviously received the filling, or received another dose of the Holy Spirit, or whatever, which is, I have to admit, is a little bit unclear with me. And then he went up to the mountain and fasted, or into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days and went through the temptation and returned in the power of the Spirit and unleashed his ministry of exactly what we're talking about. He healed them all. He turned, you know, water into wine. He all of his miracles, everything that happened after that baptism and receiving the power of the Holy Spirit, etc. And then he was crucified by the power of Holy Spirit, by grace, and died, and then was raised by the power of the Holy Spirit from God, and now obviously sits at the right hand of God, head of all power and authority. And I believe that the great, and many of us in here obviously have been baptized. We were born again. We received the Holy Spirit. We were baptized in the Holy Spirit, etc. And God is spiritually taking us through a dying process to the cross. And even these things that we're talking about, John G. Lake, who went through, I think, multiple times of receiving the Holy Spirit, I believe that the Lord is taking us to a place of perfection, what he defines as perfection, being complete in Christ. And I don't know if that means a realization, an awareness of the spiritual old man dying completely and being raised. I'm talking about the awareness of it. We all believe that it has already happened by faith, but the awareness of resting in that, raised in Christ. And so I make the connection of the greater things that will be done, the greater work, is because of the resurrected Christ now easily and comfortably living within us, unhampered by the awareness of sin, the sin nature, or the old man, or however you want to say it. And I think of that scripture, you know, when Jesus came the first time and opened Isaiah and read the scripture in Isaiah 60 that, you know, behold, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, etc. And he went through the whole scripture and stopped at the part of the vengeance of the Lord or whatever. There's a new ministry that Jesus, you know, and, you know, we've all are all aware of the fact that when Jesus returns, he doesn't return with the focus of the Lamb of God, but the Lion of Judah, the Lion of God. And there's a different emphasis on the ministry that will be happening at that time. I believe that is will be reflected in the body of Christ, or the bride, or the first fruits, or whatever it is, will be living in that resurrected life of Christ through the same Holy Spirit. So anyway, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Amen. There's one thing that Lake always said, and that was, you don't seek the gifts, you seek the Spirit, Spirit of God. It's not the gifts that you seek, it's the Spirit of God that you seek. When you speak in tongues, that opens up a whole new avenue of spiritual living in Christ. Because it opens up all the gifts. The Word of God says all the gifts are available to you at His will. Well, His will is for us to walk like Jesus. And the more you act like Jesus and walk like Jesus, the more the gifts are going to be utilized in your walk. All of those gifts are for one thing. They're for us to use to get the gospel out. He wants Jesus. You know what? Does anybody know why Jesus came? Truly? Why he came up on earth? Truly? It's not a trick question, actually. It's just something that we all ought to know. Yeah, Missy.
He was the firstborn of all creation, firstborn from the dead, and so that God would have many sons, that he would be okay. The firstborn among many brethren.
Yeah, that's true. Let me say, I'll just go ahead and say what I'm thinking here while I've got to load my mind. When Adam sinned, the Spirit of God left him. It left Adam. He was out there. He's gone. He didn't have a relationship with the Lord after that, because the Spirit of God left him. Jesus came to bring the Spirit of God back to his people so that he could have fellowship with him. All through the Old Testament, it says that the Holy Spirit was with them. But in the New Covenant, the Holy Spirit is back in us, just like it was back in, like it was in Adam upon his, when the Lord breathed into him. That was the Spirit of God he breathed into. But when he sinned, he only had to do what he didn't do. He told, Lord told him, don't be eating in that thing. Don't be eating in that tree. He could, one thing told him, don't do that, Adam, Eve. Don't y'all mess with that tree there. But that day, listened to the devil, and Adam listened to Eve, and the Spirit of God left him. But he made, when Jesus was resurrected, went down and got the keys to hell, death, and the grave, he went back up and sat at the right hand of the Father, and that's when the Holy Spirit was made available at Pentecost. Listen, let me tell you something about Pentecost also. You may not understand. How many of them was it that was waiting? 500. How many of them got it? 120. The rest of them couldn't stay there long the whole time. They left. 120 out of 500. They stayed there. And that's what we have to do. The Spirit of God is now available to us. He's our toolbox, so to speak. And I'm not saying that in a flippant way. He's everything we need. And we utilize it the best possible way we can. And it's a growing process. It always has been. It's a faith thing. To believe. How many of you want the gifts of miracles? Let me just throw one out there. How many of you ever operated in the gifts of miracles? Yeah, me too, Marilyn. I think everybody in here wants that. When you pray for somebody and God replaces a heart, he replaces a stomach, he replaces a lung, he replaces this, he replaces an arm that's been snatched off. He replaces a leg that's been snatched off. He restores your DNA. How's that? That's what he's told us is going to happen to the bride. He's going to restore the DNA. How many of you know what that means? You're going to be looking at a 30-year-old here shortly. Lord of God. Back up, young men. I'm telling you something that it's never been done before. God's fixing to do a great and mighty thing, and we need to be ready. And so we need to be communicating with the Lord every day. Communicating with, man, just like Andrew was talking about, we need to be shaken because we want it all to be right. We want to be just exactly like God wants us to be. I know that I've had to repent just in the last little bit of a lot of things that I've been doing wrong that the Lord has shown. That's okay. Don't be looking at me with them self-righteous eyes. I know what you do. Every one of us has been doing that, haven't we? We all been doing that. We're getting ready for this great happening. There's going to be lives depending upon us right here. Us. Even though we're spread out all over the world, it doesn't make any difference. We're all locked in the same spirit. And I'm starting to quake, Andrew. I'm telling you, the Lord's fixing to do a mighty, mighty thing here with this group right here. With this group. Hey, listen, why? Oh, this is Christmas weekend. That's why nobody's here. We got a small crowd tonight. Reason I was asking. It's 17 here. We generally have 25, 27, 30 people in here. Sometimes 40. I guess it's Christmas. Anybody got any questions or comments they'd like to add to what we're talking about? This is a good subject. Yeah, Ryan.
On that subject, and I think that's why, and I don't want to blow anybody's horn, right? But what I know about what's different to what this group of people believe in UBM, larger UBM, that distinguishes us or separates us probably from a whole bunch of other Christians is, and it's not us, right? There's the Lord that's revealed it to us, and that's what we've been talking about, and that is the mystery that Paul talks about so much. And he goes, what is the mystery of the kingdom, or the mystery of Christ? And then he gives the answer. He says, the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, that study that Ben has been doing about the difference between the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit is so fundamental to everything we believe. And that's what you spoke about, the whole purpose of Christ coming. He came so that, and then he said he has to leave so that he can be with us. And what that means is not, oh, he's just our friend walking next to us, you know, the footsteps in the sand kind of thing. No, he's taken out, when we get born again, he's taken out that old fleshly spirit and put his spirit in us. He was only able to do it when he went up to be with the Father so that he can intercede for us. And that is the mystery. That is the big fundamental difference, because it's all by grace and we can do nothing. That old spirit of ours could do nothing and couldn't do it. All it could do was try and keep the law and die and show us the sin. But now, because Christ came and because he died on the cross and because he got resurrected and he overcame death, he beheld Satan fallen like lightning and he took captivity captive and proclaimed liberty to us. And that liberty is freedom in Christ. And therefore, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And that life I live by faith which is in the Son of God. It was impossible to even have that. And that is such a big difference between someone who just believes in God or someone who believes God. You know, if you believe, we believe God, we believe what he written there. And the only reason we can do this is because we have the Spirit of Christ. But that Spirit of Christ has to grow in us through abiding in him and through the Holy Spirit working in us to then save our souls. So our souls can be saved. So you can change our mind, will, and emotions. But yeah, that is the big fundamental difference, is once you come to that realization that it's Christ in us, that we now have the Spirit of Christ in us, that same nature, that same character, that same authority by faith, not by sight. We are able to do those greater things because it's multiplied in so many. It looks few, but it's still many. That's the big, for me, it's like the big separation is that was Missy quoted that verse on a Tuesday night that said it's he who confesses that Christ cometh in the flesh or comes in the flesh or is coming. That's what it means. It's those who believe that it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, not one day when he comes back physically. And those who believe that it is Christ coming in the flesh, those have got the opportunity or the potential, or by faith is part of the first fruits, man child, because that is what he's looking for. He's looking for those who are willing to confess that and then are able to walk like he walked, is able to do what he did, is able to pick up their cross and follow him and be real disciples of him. And it's only that one fundamental difference, is that fundamental thing. It's the mystery of Christ in us. And that's what I really love about being on this group and with this fellowship and listening to David, is that it's all people who confess that same thing, that Christ comes in the flesh now. And has enabled that 2,000 years ago, and foreknew that even before the foundation of the world. Now that's beautiful, and that's how we are able to then behold his face in the mirror and be transformed from glory to glory, because you behold that spirit that he's been putting you in the mirror, and then you are transformed into that image. And by faith.
Amen. We are a new creation. When you came to Christ, you are a new creation. Your old man died right there. And we need to stomp him in the head every time he lifts his head up. I don't mean that physically, but you know what I'm talking about. Go ahead, Andrew or Ben.
Okay, so I'm just trying to make sure I'm thinking straight with all of this. We receive the Spirit of Christ, and that's our calling. That is a Romans 12:2, the renewed mind, and leaving the pattern of the world and looking to Christ within us. That's what I'm seeing. And then the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, gives us the power to live this life. That's where we get the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. Is that sound right so far, or am I?
Sure.
Of course. Because it's, I'm trying to distinguish the difference between the two when it's talking about it in Romans 8, because it says Spirit about every like two words in, and I'm just like, okay, what Spirit is he talking about here? And it's I'm probably overthinking it because I usually.
Yeah, you are. You are. Because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of God. It makes no difference whether it comes from Jesus or God the Father. They all come from the Father initially. Jesus, when you were saved, you received a new spirit then. Amen. Your old spirit went under when you got baptized. And you have the Spirit of Christ, but now, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's the power from God to give you the ability to overcome your soulish nature. And you do, remember when he says, when you speak in tongues, the tongues edifies you, that builds up your spirit. Builds up your spirit. And it's a proven scientific fact. I said this last week. It's a proven scientific fact. 30 minutes praying in the spirit gives you 30% immunity. It raises your immunity level 30%. If you pray in it 100 minutes, it gives you 100% immunity. Or it raises your immunity up to 100%. If you pray for 2 hours, you have some left over that you can slosh out on the people around you, bless God. So that's a proven scientific fact.
Okay. Thank you.
That's the power. Yes, Ryan.
There's another way to look at it. Well, there's, I suppose, a couple of ways we can look at this, Ben, and just to add to what Michael said, is that we were created in the image of God. So we are body, soul, and spirit. And that's how God created us, right? It's in his image. He has a body, physical body on the throne, soul, because he's got a mind, will, and emotions. And spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. And so does Jesus. Got a body, right? Now, right now, it's the body of believers on the earth. Got a spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ, which we'll talk about then. And then he's got the soul, the mind, will, and emotions of Christ. Now, we, before we come to Christ and before we save, we've got a body, fleshly body. We've got a carnal mind, soul. And we've got that old fleshly carnal spirit, right? Which that we're not in the same image as God, but I suppose the same pattern, right? Because Adam was created in that image. He had that Spirit of Christ in him, but that after that he had children in his image, which is this old carnal image. But when you get born again, your old spirit, that old carnal spirit, well, I understand it gets replaced, and the Spirit of Christ gets put in there. He takes all the old heart, the stony heart, and gives you a heart of flesh. that you know, the old man is gone, a new man is there, but we still have this soul, our mind, will, and emotions are still carnal, fleshly, not transformed, not renewed to the same mind as Christ. Like, that's our soul. And our body is still in the flesh, fleshly. So what we need then to help us, and that's what Paul talks about in Romans, is that unto the salvation of the soul is unto the renewing of our mind, to change our mind, will, and emotions, and to be transformed into that image of Christ. That's our soul that needs to be transformed. So yes, we've got the Spirit of Christ now, but how do we transform our souls? How do we transform our mind, will, and emotions without the help of the helper, of the helpmeet, of the comforter, which is God's Spirit? That's the Spirit of God. So it's almost like there's two directions of how I see it sometimes in the spirit, body, and flesh. Is God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, works through us, through the Spirit of Christ on our souls, right? And transform it. It's almost like a good versus evil battle, where he's got the Holy Spirit comes in through the Spirit of Christ and helps us, gives us the power to transform and change our minds and become more and more like Christ. The enemy, he uses the flesh. The demons and everything else come through the old carnal flesh and tries to transform our soul, our mind, will, back, you know, the other way. So that's how God is able to transform us into that image, is because we've received that Spirit of Christ. Because we've had that born again experience, we are now new creatures, because our spirit is now replaced. It's no longer I that live. So that old Rian is dead. It's now the Spirit of Christ that's in me. The same Spirit that was in Christ when he walked the earth, and on the disciples, and in each one of us, we've got exactly that same Spirit. But my soul has to be transformed. I've got to now start and continue on that walk and be renewed daily, day by day. And the way to do it is I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that I can overcome and be the overcomer and continue on to the end, until the end, where even my flesh is transformed, and even my flesh comes into the 30, 60, 100 fold. At the end, we are perfected, but manifestly, because at the start, we are perfected by faith, because we see the end from the beginning. But at the end, even not just our spirit, not just our soul, but even then, we'll receive our resurrected, perfected bodies. So when we come in attacks, or there's attacks from the enemy and demons, that it's coming through the flesh. And that's why we're able to cast it down, because we can say, no, when we were baptized, that old man died. That old flesh is in that water, and we can come against the enemy that way. So that's kind of how I've think about it in my mind. You know, how does that work, and how does it two work? Because it's the same pattern that's being followed: is spirit, soul, and body. My spirit, soul, and body, the old ones. Christ's spirit's got, he's got a spirit, soul, and body, and so does God. I hope that makes sense. I hope I didn't confuse you now more.
No, that was absolutely a great way to explain it, in my estimation. You did a wonderful job, a whole lot better than I could. Ben, did you understand what he was talking about, dude?
For the most part. Another thing that kind of goes a little over my head is 30, 60, and 100 fold fruit, does that correlate with star, moon, and sun glory? Or are they two totally separate things?
Yep, that's star, moon, and sun glory.
So 30, star 60, yep. Moon. Okay. Okay.
Yep. Represents the spirit, soul, and the body. Yeah, Patrick.
Yeah, I agree with everything that's being said. It's interesting. I think there's the more we talk about it, the more there's we're become clear, or at least some of the things that we've always said, we're able to clarify exactly maybe what's happening. And in that clarity, the nice thing about being understanding the details of something, is that it eliminates the, uneasiness or the questions or the searching, and, you know, it brings you kind of into a rest. But, I think one of the things that hit me is that, the aspect of the spirit versus the soul versus the body. Obviously, it's very easy to see kind of the differences between the body and the flesh, the body and the soul and that sort of thing. Some of the harder things are being able to see the difference between the soul and the spirit. And of course, that's what the Word of God does for us in Hebrews 4:12. But the one of the things that I picked up here on, you know, in the last few years is when Romans says, you know, in chapter six, there it talks about we were crucified with Christ. And then it says, you know, we were raised again. And he's talking about we, or just say I was crucified with Christ. Well, what was the I that was crucified? It wasn't my body, because my body didn't come into existence until 1952, you know. And my belief is, I don't believe it was my soul, because my soul came into existence in 1952 when the Spirit of God blew his breath into this body and I became a living soul. So what was it that was crucified? It had to be my spirit, had to be me, the me that was spoken to existence in Genesis 1, 26 or 27 or whatever. That me, that spirit, that is me, was born then, was created then. So when I received Christ in the late 70s or whenever, when I received that word and I became aware for the first time who Jesus was, what the connection was, you know, it was a very, you know, Jesus and the scripture says that that's when I was born again. Well, what was it born again? It wasn't my body. Was it my soul? I don't think it was my soul initially. I think it was my spirit. And my spirit was born again. And I became aware, in my spirit, I became aware of who Jesus is. Not only who he was intellectually, that really didn't have a lot of bearing. It was now he was real. I was aware of him. And my whole, you know, obviously I'm preaching to the choir here, but our whole perspective was changed. We were now alive with a new perspective. Well, that was my spirit that was alive. it was now aware of God, of Christ. And so when we, so where I was going with that, I'm not quite sure. But when, so in Romans 8, when he's saying, if the Spirit of Christ is not in you, you're none of his. But if the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Father, is in you, and if the Spirit of Christ is in you, you are, what does it say? Not gonna. Here I am spouting, and I probably should have had it opened up. There's, but you're not in the Spirit, indeed, but Spirit. Here it is. But ye are, verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that God's Spirit dwelleth in you. But if any hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is indeed dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The body, and so when he's talking the body, I don't think he's talking about that spirit, that physical, you know, body that goes to sleep and gets up. I think it's just that the body, when he's talking the body, is indeed dead. It's that body of sin that we are walking around in. It is dead, and it is, we feel the effects of that death, and it keeps pulling us towards death. And there's that focus or that aspect of death in our lives. And we battle against it, you know, and learn to, fight against that and speak of faith and whatever. But there's always this pulling of death in our life. It's pulling us down. But he says, but if the Spirit, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness, even though this pull of death is still there, our spirit is still alive to the Lord. And we are continuing to follow him and be pulled toward him and be pulled through his word. In verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus dwelleth in you, and God's saying, if it dwells in you, in the me, Pat, if the Spirit of God dwells in me, then he who raised Christ from the dead shall make alive your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So and I think the thing that I was seeing, or at least thinking about, is that my spirit, having been crucified in Christ and then having been become aware of him through the born again experience, my spirit did not go out of existence. It became aware of the Spirit of Christ, of Jesus. So I believe there's two living within there. There's Pat's spirit living within me, and there's Jesus' spirit living within me. And I believe that God's desire was to come and set our will and our volition, maybe the same thing, free to willfully submit to Jesus' life within us and allow ours to be reduced. And that, I believe, only happens through the power of the Holy Spirit that the Father gives us, which we're back to that point again. I think that there's a deeper experience that God wants to take me through, I'm sure, and I'm confident that he wants to take us all through, to free up, to in our spirit put to death that old man that went to the cross, and allow that old man and raise that old man up. I'm talking in the spirit, not the old, you know, carnal man, but in the spirit, raise him, raise Pat in the resurrected life of Jesus. So that part in me is still lacking clarity, I would have to say. But so that's why I say I believe these things. I'm still, asking the Lord to clarify them within me. But I think that the more clarity we have related to that tends to set us free so that we can rest in those things that are happening and what God has done in us. Anyway, hope I didn't muddy the waters.
No, you did okay. Did fine. Anyone else? Got a question? Anybody got a question on the Holy Spirit and baptism of the Holy Spirit, or any aspect of the spiritual nature of who we are in Christ? Everybody's got all the questions answered. Praise God. Go ahead, Judy.
Well, if he gave us a new spirit when we got saved and we got born again, we have a new spirit. And the scripture says that it is no longer I who live, but Christ liveth in me. Then I no longer by faith, because God's transforming me into his image, is, as he is, so am I in this world. It's, I don't have that old life anymore. So I'm supposed to reckon myself dead. So I have his spirit, no longer my spirit. It's a born from above spirit. I'm born from above, like he told Zechariah in John chapter 3, you must be born anew, or born from above. And that's his eternal life that he's given us. So it's the mind of the flesh, it's the old carnal nature and all that stuff that we're putting to death. And that's why we go through the trials, and that's why we renew our mind by the word of God. But I don't think we're supposed to consider that we have our old life anymore at all. I don't think we're supposed to consider that, forget the things that lie behind, forget the failures, the mistakes, the persons that we were. And, every one of us in here is a different person than where we were before we got saved, and we grow, it's just to grow in the grace and knowledge of God, of Christ. So we're becoming more like him. And I was in John chapter 8 today too, so it's kind of interesting you're quoting from there. It's like we all, like sheep, are, put to death, so that Christ can live in us. We're all like those sheep to be slaughtered, as Christ was slaughtered. So, he died. We're dying. We're dying every day to our old nature, our old way of thinking, and the way that we used to reason, the way that we used to, our carnal thinking and reasoning and all that stuff, that's supposed to be renewed by the word of God. And it's his spirit that does that in us. So I think we're supposed to consider all of that, is behind us, and it's, the battle is in the mind of putting to death that old way of thinking. No, that's kind of what I was thinking after this conversation, mm-hmm. and what was going.
Well, that's exactly right. Something that was going through my mind earlier is this, that when you allow your carnal nature to take over, your spiritual man is bound, so to speak. But when your spiritual man is running things, you're continually dying. You're continually dying. And so why not just go ahead and surrender? I'm talking to Michael now. I know all of y'all have already done it. Just surrender everything to the Lord. Okay, what does that entail? Surrender everything. Well, all your five senses. There's two kinds of Christians. There's a sensual or a carnal Christian. There's a spiritual Christian. And what we are is what you are. If you're walking in your carnal life, doing the things that you want to do rather than what the Word of God says, to bear the fruit of the Spirit. What is that? Joy, love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, help me out, faithfulness, goodness, meekness, self-control. I did it. Thank you, Jesus. Those are the things that he's looking for out of all of us. Praise God. I got the mind of Christ. Glory to God. Go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Loud and clear.
All right. I was listening to a message about divination and all that stuff. And, well, when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, I just want to make sure I understand this properly. But when we talk about the Holy Spirit and when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, that's when we get the gifts of the Spirit. And so one of the things that they were saying was, like if somebody you know is not filled with the Spirit, is prophesying, then you know that that is not of the Spirit. It's they were saying it was divination or some part of the occult. And I don't know, just not of the Spirit. And so you really have to question where that prophecy is coming from. And so I guess I just never thought about, you know, like a child that would prophesy and, you know, it's like, yeah, a mother might say, yeah, my child told me this, this, and this, and it was all right, and they were prophesying, and it was true. But, you know, were they, I don't know, like they weren't filled with the Spirit, so I don't know if that makes, I don't know where I'm trying to go with this. Does that make it so that they're not, if they're not filled with the Spirit and they're prophesying, and it might be right what they're saying,
well,
and it might have come true.
When you're saying prophesying, let's define prophesying. What is that? Because
I guess I think of it as.
Go ahead.
Just saying something that's going to happen, and then it happens. Maybe that's okay. Too general.
Well. We need to get into that. Prophecy is not what a lot of people think it is. A word of knowledge can be foretelling something, telling you something's going to happen. Word of wisdom can also do that. The word of knowledge can do that. Gosh, it's been a long time since I've studied that, but
yeah, and I guess that I What I was trying to understand was with the Holy Spirit specifically, because that's what we're talking about. Well, I didn't want to get off that topic. So,
okay, listen, here's the deal. God can use anybody to talk through. He can speak through anybody to God. He spoke through that donkey, and he wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. But he can use anybody to speak through. You don't have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to do that. It's when you utilize the gifts that you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, there are times that you're going to need it, and you'll be able to operate in it because you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. You have that ability as God wills. And as God wills, it's going to be because you're going to need it. He gives you that, those gifts for the times that you need it. Well, you can, he says, pray for the best gifts. Well, what's the best gift? That's the one you need at the moment. I hope I'm not talking around in circles here, but God can use anybody to speak through. So no, they don't have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit for God to use. Yeah, Judy.
Vinny, you say you're watching something had to do with divinity as well. Is that what that, whatever you were listening to?
Yeah, the occult and divination.
Yeah. Okay.
And that.
Divination.
Well, that sounds like a familiar spirit. Could be.
Yeah, there's false prophets. There's false prophecies. Yeah. There's false, you know, that speak, you know, things that aren't true. We just have to be really careful and always have to check the spirits to see if they're of God, right, and ask the Lord, is this true? You know, because it's, yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
But like you
there,
said, like you said, Michael, just because the person isn't filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that the Lord can't use them to deliver a word.
That's right. But like Judy said, you have to discern the prophecy.
Yeah.
He tells us to discern the prophecy.
I wouldn't think that if God was prophesying through somebody, prophesying, that's a gift of God through the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't think that it would be somebody who wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit.
Typically not, but I've seen children stand up there to God use them.
Okay, fine then. Were they filled with the Holy Spirit?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Typically, people that aren't filled with the Holy Spirit are not going to be seeking to do that, but sometimes God does that to get people's attention, in my estimation. But like I said, you have to discern the spirits. Make sure it's right. Yeah, Andy.
That's true. Because, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. We're still on you. We're on your dime.
No, I was just going to say, like, you know, when I was in the Baptist church, they don't believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit separately from being saved.
You won't see that in the Baptist church, either.
Right. No, they wouldn't be prophesying because they don't believe in it.
No, they're against the Holy Spirit. That's one of the reasons that this tribulation is coming, to break up churches like that and get God's people out of them. Those are apostate churches when they deny the existence of the Holy Spirit. I think David's covered that quite well here. It's one of his teachings. Go ahead, Andrew. Or Ben?
Just to kind of go off of what Vanita was talking about, there was a woman that was prophesying to Paul and Barnabas in the book of Acts. And what she's saying was true. She was prophesying like, these are the men of God, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
And they still rebuked it out of her, even though it was true. They were telling her to shut her mouth and to get out of it. So, just because it's true, it comes from like a demon spirit, we still got to rebuke that thing out of there, because who knows what else it's doing to her.
Right? What was she doing? What was she doing? She was hollering at every 2 or 3 minutes, you know, interrupting everything. He finally got tired of it and said, come out of it in the name of Jesus. Well, it ripped up everybody, especially the people who owned her.
It's kind of like what you guys were talking about before with those people that were screaming, fire, fire, fire. That's definitely a demon spirit if you're just screaming.
Yeah.
That's not tongues at all.
No. Well, that was that Kundalini spirit went through that false revival down in Pensacola. Joe, go ahead, brother.
I was thinking what Bonita was talking about. When you get born again, you get Jesus' spirit. In other words, that means you're a baby. How can you be, you have to be growing up in revelation knowledge, become mature in Christ. If you haven't got the Holy Spirit, you will remain a baby. You haven't been grown in the maturity of Christ. That's what I'm saying.
That's right. That's exactly right. You can't grow up in Christ without the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Rian, go ahead. Or who was up first? Go ahead, Rian. I'll get Patrick.
This is an extract from what David said about this topic. I can't remember where I got this from. But he says, here on this earth, our responsibility is to walk by faith in Jesus Christ in order to see his sonship manifested. We're talking about manifestation now, not by faith. To see sonship manifested in spirit and in soul. But he says, not in body. We have nothing to do with the body. The redeemed body is going to come later, and it will come to those who are faithful in bearing fruit in the area of the soul. The manifestation of sonship in the spirit, right? So not the soul, in the spirit, is instantly accomplished when the spirit of Christ comes to live in your spirit. So that's the new creation. That's instantly happened. That's the child. Like that's when you become a child, Joe, like what you said. That's a child. Now you've got to faithfully bring up the child to become a son, is what the word says. It says the progressive manifestation of sonship in the soul comes to pass as you walk in your natural body more and more like Christ walked. It's not out of our own ability that we can do this, but it's through God's ability. So through God's Holy Spirit, he promises that he will work in us. Like Philippians 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it, that's bring it to completion, until the day of Jesus Christ. And then it says, Philippians 3:14, I press on towards the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's very important that we study the word of God, because the word of God is the seed that brings forth Christ and the word of God in our souls. And it also renews our mind, that's our soul, so we can walk with the Spirit. Romans 12 verse 2, and be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that's your soul, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The natural carnal man cannot walk with the Spirit. Shall two walk together except they have agreed? The Spirit is foolishness to the carnal mind. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it's the power of God. So when we come into agreement with God, then we can walk in the Spirit.
Praise God.
That's lovely.
Glory to God. Yeah.
That's awesome. So that manifestation is instantly in the Spirit. Manifestation. Not then by faith, our souls are, but then we have to walk in it and have our souls transformed and renewed and endure and continue on and become like Christ. And that's, I suppose, that's a 3,600 fold. That's the, immediately it's still star glory. It's still all your own glory, all fleshly. And then we have to renew it, become more, die to self, so that we can become like the moon, which is only reflecting the light of Christ, until at the end we are, you know, in, we'll receive our renewed bodies and get that, that sonship at the end.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. There are those in the first fruits man child ministry that may do that. I've talked to David a few times about that, and he just, the first time I asked him about that, I said, what about this first fruits and going all the way through to a hundredfold ministry? I mean, hundredfold Christ love. He smiled at me. He said, he never would tell me at that time. I finally pulled it out of him a little bit later. I kept being persistent about it. And what he said is, it's going to be probably at the 3.5 year part. Is when, remember when Jesus, he left this earth after 3.5 years of his ministry, got resurrected, came back in his body, didn't he? Bingo. May happen. And that's the time when I believe that the saints in Christ will come up out of the grave. Some of them, like it did back then. Some that we had been believing for. I know this is kind of wild stuff, but it's not so wild if it's not the word of God. The things that be shall be, right? Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. I know y'all don't know that, but David hadn't said that verse, but 332,556 times, you know. But it's a good verse, and it's very applicable to everything that happened. What we're doing now, they've done it before us. Done it before us. Yeah, Patrick, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't want to jump off the subject, but I just
okay.
Vanita, I just wanted to say with Vanita, since we're getting late in time now, if she goes back and reads in Numbers 20, Numbers 22:7, it's the story about Balaam, and it was referred to before, Balaam and the ass and whatever. Well, there's a verse there, 22 verse 7 says, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed. They had, I'm sorry, let me read verse 6 real quick. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, I shall prevail, that they may that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of our land. For I know that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursed is cursed. And this is the king or whatever coming, of key elders of Moab coming to Balaam. The elders departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And that rewards of divination, the divination there that they're speaking of, is speaking the curse against God's people. And so I'll just quit right there. I mean, it's a very, you can read through the whole chapter and the next chapter, and it's very enlightening about defining what divination is, puts a definition to it, but it's all motivation of the heart and speaking against the things of God and the people of God, etc. So that's part of it. Anyway, I'll shut up.
No, that's true. Hold on. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Can I just add something? What Rian said is when you get born again, you're coming out of Egypt, but you still got Egypt to get out of you. That's why your soul has to be reborn, is to get Egypt out of you. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, that's true. Got to get it out of us. Do you do that by getting that word in you? You also build your faith up by praying in tongues. I just say that. Thank you, Father, Son of the Lord God. Father, we just praise you. We glorify you for all that you've allowed us to talk about tonight. It's been an interesting subject and one that we could go for days and days and days on, because you are a very interesting God that we have. And I praise you, Father, for placing it in our hearts to speak about the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the things that go along with it. Father, that's you, Lord. And we just praise you, we glorify you, Father, that what the most important thing that a Christian does is to be baptized, one of the most, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to this avenue, okay, not like a better way to explain it, this great gift that you've given us, this, the Holy Spirit. And I praise you for that, Father. Be with us again. Lead us, guide us, help us to with your spirit to cast down the old carnal man, pick up our spiritual man, build him up, Lord. And I thank you for doing that for all of us. Thank you, Father, that we're all by faith are in the bride, and those that are believing for the man child are in the man child. And I praise you for it, Father, because we're calling those things that are not as though they were. And we know, Father, that when you tell us things to correct, that we immediately correct it. And we thank you, Father, for doing that in each and every one of us. Lord, I know that this great happening, this great revival of the bride and the man-child ministry, the anointing of it, is coming soon. But you're just waiting on us, I believe. And I thank you, Father, that we want to be in those particular groups of people that are going to be blessed beyond our wildest dreams. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Be with us as we go to sleep tonight or go to work or whatever we're going to do, Lord. And I thank you for doing that. And Lord, protect everybody that's yours from the onslaught of the deep state and the faction from our midst. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We bind up the works of the faction and the deep state from doing any harm to your people in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for being with us and guiding us and leading us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, fill us up some more. Give us more of you. Good night, y'all.